Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, for our prayer time today, we want to think about our theme for this service of just remember him. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is quoting from the Lord Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper or communion time, he says that Jesus says that we do this, quote, in remembrance of me. There's a lot of things that get in the way of our remembering him. We can get distracted and all those other things. But I want to just pray for us today. Let's pray for each other, all those who are collectively in worship today. Let's pray that we will be people who just remember and remember his work in our lives, his place in our life. So join me in prayer as we go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we exist because you made us. We are alive because you have sustained us. We are saved because the Lord Jesus provided that for us through the cross. And it was an outgrowth, an outgoing push to rescue us that was driven by your love. We are objects of your love. We have so much we need to remember. We need to remember your love. We need to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And Lord, help us to do that today. We need to remember that it's you that's made us. We didn't make ourselves. We are not self-made men and women. We are God-made men and women. And Lord, you sustain us through this life. You give us salvation. You promise us eternity with you. All those things are just well worth remembering. And Lord, I pray that you'd help our minds. We are so distracted by anything and everything. We think about ourselves. We get consumed with our worries. We focus too much on our hurts and our troubles. We are thinking about what we want to accomplish, our own agenda and our own to-do lists. And all those things crowd out remembering. But Lord, you have programmed that every week we have a day that we worship you. And we as Christians have been doing for centuries. We come together on this, the first day of the week, to just worship you and to remember. I pray that as we get into the Word in a little bit, you'll help us to remember. As we sing, help us to remember. As we celebrate communion together, you'll help us to remember. And Father, I just pray that you will speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Let us know of your presence. Help us, Lord, not to miss what you have for us. Lord, how sad it is that you would want to say something to us and we're just not listening. Or Lord, we get forgetful about all the things that you've done for us, all of your benefits, all of your blessings. Sometimes we get forgetful in just praising you and saying thank you to you. And Lord, help us to be thankful in all the areas of life. Lord, you've done so much for us, more than we could ever possibly ever recount and ever thank you for. But those things that we know about, Lord, we need to thank you for. And I thank you for the folks that are watching right now that are part of this online service. We know some folks are just not able to be out, or are not well enough, or in a condition or a situation, job, family, whatever it is, that can't be out in person. But Lord, we're meeting together. We're trying to fulfill your commands to continue to worship. And Lord, until you could allow us to all be back together, we welcome and honor this time together. And I pray, Lord, for each one that's part of this online service right now, that they will know of your presence. They will know of your love. They will know of your sustaining, of your salvation. And Lord, together we will remember you. We ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come meet this motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. And this sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door. Let mercy draw you near. So come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. All who fail, you've been forgiven. All who dream and all who suffer. All who loved and lost another. All the chained and all the free. All who follow, all who lead. Anyone who's been let down. All the lost you have been found. All who've been labeled right or wrong. To everyone who hears this song.
Well, today we want to look at a portrait that Jesus painted with words, where he describes himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. I want to draw your attention to John chapter 10. If you have a Bible available, do have it with you, because we're not going to have a time to look at every verse in this extended chapter. So we're going to kind of bounce our way through some of the highlights, but we're going to see this wonderful reality that Jesus is our good shepherd. And I just want to start by imparting one word, implanting one word into your mind. And it's kind of our theme for today. And that word is remember. May the Lord help us to remember him. And remember these very foundational, very profound, but very close and intimate and meaningful descriptions that Jesus brings to us by means of this picture of the Good Shepherd. So I want you to pick it up in chapter 10, the beginning of the verse. He says there in verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So he begins by making a contrast, and if you put this into the greater context of what is going on, the opposition to Jesus is growing in his earthly ministry. There were those that were saying, "You're not genuine." In fact, before this chapter is out, there are some who accuse him of either being demon-possessed or representing Satan himself. He's a great fraud, that's what they would say. But the first aspect of this good shepherd is simply this, that he is genuine. And he talks about the door of the sheepfold. He says, the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He says, there are others out there that are trying to climb into the sheepfold in another way, and that's his detractors. That's his ones that were disbelieving. But he's saying, you want to see the genuine article? Look at me. You want to see the reality of what is real and genuine? Look at me. We long to find something genuine in this world, and we scarcely find it. We barely find it, but in him we always find it. He talks about the door of the sheepfold. Later he says in the chapter, I am the door of the sheep, down in verse 7. Now, think of a sheepfold as being a low fence, and at night the sheep were brought inside to be contained, to be protected from predators and protected from wandering away. And then there was an opening in this wall, if you will, this fenced area. And the shepherd would often lay across this opening, and he would sleep there. So no predator could get into the sheep without crossing him. No sheep could wander out with getting across the shepherd. So he was literally the door. He is this door of protection, this door of entry. And he's also the only way in. There's only one way into the sheepfold. So he sets all this imagery up saying, you want to come to God? There's only one way in. And I am this door. I am this entry. I am this protector. I am this one who is there. I am the one who is genuine. I am the one that you can count on. You know, we live in the world that is full of fake. It is absolutely full to the brim with fake. We sometimes wonder, what can I believe? You know, we can manipulate images and pictures and words and put spin on things. And we've all experienced the sting of someone not being genuine with us. They want to be your best friend and they have your best interest in mind, but really they want to just extract something from your wallet and put into their own, right? We've been there. But here's the reality. This is what we need to remember. Jesus is genuine. Of all the fake in the world, you run back to him and you find the genuine shepherd, the one who is the entrance into God. He is the way of salvation. There is no other. He is the one that we come to. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He will say that over in chapter 14 of this same book, that he will come. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. We come to through God through him. That is true. That is genuine. It's been proven true throughout all the pages of all the days of history and all the pages of the Bible. It's also true because it's never been disproven. And many people have tried. Many people tried to prove that Jesus didn't exist or this is just a fabrication or a fable or whatever. But it is true. This is an accurate record of what God has done and who Jesus is. You can count on him for the genuine. You kind of disillusioned, disheartened. You feeling a little bit burned. Feeling like you've been naive in this world and you're going to remain skeptical and you're going to protect yourself by sort of withdrawing from anybody and everybody. You really can't trust anybody. You know that feeling? Well, I understand that things in this world full of sin and flawed people like ourselves, but we need to come back to trust in this one. You can always trust to him. So remember him, run to him, worship him, love him, talk to him. Listen to him. Make your life all about him. And then he goes on down in this chapter. And I want you to go down to verse 11 where he makes this statement. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So there he declares it. Now, this is sort of contrasted to the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, remember back in the Psalms, David wrote Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." That imagery that came out of David's life as a shepherd, he was a shepherd before he became a warrior and a king. He says, God is that shepherd in my life, and he protects and he leads and he takes us through the scary parts of life and all those sorts of things. But that imagery of sheep and shepherds really goes from Genesis to Revelation. And in the first and the last book of the Bible, you still see that image of sheep and shepherd. And that's primarily because Israel, throughout most of their days in the Bible times, were keepers of sheep. That was their primary occupation, and that was sort of what they were known for. They were shepherds and keepers of sheep. So it's obvious that was a good way to introduce into their eyes and into their minds this concept of God in their life by using this imagery of sheep and shepherds. But Jesus says, now, I stand out. He's not only genuine, but I am good. That's the second aspect. He is the genuine one. He is also good. He declared it to be right here in the verse. In fact, that should be all that we need because he said it. If he said it, we believe it. Go on. But we also see it in how he treated people. We see it how even he comes and talks to us in this chapter. By the time we come to this end of this chapter, there's some great words of comfort. And there's great words of reassurance that he will love us, that he came and he accepts us as we are. And because of his grace procured for us on the cross, that grace is available to us. And we are made righteous in him. All those great things. He's the good shepherd. You can count on it. You know, we look around this world. We look around our personal lives. We look even internally. And friends, what do we see? We see a mountain of bad. We see a mountain of bad. There's bad in this world. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed with it, we just want to get discouraged. We're just down on everything. We accept this very negative mindset. We're pessimistic about everything. Our expectation that what we're going to receive is bad because what we have received in the past has felt enormously bad. Sometimes we let those hurts just fester. We don't really turn them over to the Lord. They reproduce a whole harvest. Those seeds of hurt produce a harvest of bitterness in our lives. But God wants to bring us back to himself and remember this. He's the good shepherd. Where you might be seeing a mountain of bad, we see a continent of good in your Lord Jesus. I am the good shepherd. We can count on his heart. So here's what I want you to do. Next time you start having those negative thoughts, replace them with thoughts of Jesus. Next time you feel that hurt from something of the past or in the present, go to the one who always has your good in mind. Replace the bad with the good, and he is the good shepherd. And notice he's not just good, but he's the good shepherd. He's there to take care of. He's there to tend. He's there to nourish. He's there to make sure that our wounds are properly cared for as a good shepherd would. You find your healing ultimately in him. Yes, there's people around that could help us, and we need to understand our emotions and our lives and our reactions and all of that. But our expectation should always include this. He is the good shepherd, and he's there for us. Now, notice also in verse 11, he says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And he says in verse 15, he kind of echoes that. "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Not only is he just a shepherd, but he is a committed shepherd. And we're talking total, complete, unreserved commitment to us. He is committed to us to the point that not only was he willing to lay down his life for us, he actually laid down his life for us by going to the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross. He could have prayed his Father, as he told Peter, I could pray the Father, he'd send 12 legions of angels. There would have been a rescue party on the way. But he didn't pray that prayer because he was committed to lay down his life for the sheep. That is total, complete, unreserved commitment. He also gives us this hint as we read a little further. In verse 16, he says this, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Three times in this chapter he talks about laying down his life for the sheep. But notice he says there's these sheep of a different flock. They're from a different fold, if you will, but I'm going to bring them into this flock. You know, there are a few times in Scripture where we see ourselves, literally see ourselves in the Scriptures, and this is one of them. He says, the Gentile world, outside of the Jews, and they thought, well, we're the possessors and the recipients of salvation. We have this special relationship with the one true God, and then there's everybody else. Well, Jesus says, from that other fold, everybody else is going to be invited in. I'm going to make one flock. And that's where we see, at least hinted, that we are included in the great plan of God. Why? Because he's committed to you. How committed is he? He was so committed, he died for you. Have you trusted him as your Savior? The only way that we can be saved is to put our confidence, our faith, our trust in the fact that Jesus died for us. Individually believe that and individually accept that. And then by faith, believe and understand that because we believe he did that for us, we are accepting his free gift of salvation. He forgives us and he promises us eternal life and abundant life now, life that is beyond the expectation of the ordinary. So if you haven't trusted him, today would be the day. If you have trusted him, this is the day to remember. You know, sometimes we live in a world where we feel very lonely. We have all these electronic devices. We're more connected to more people than ever. But it seems like we have relationships that are a mile wide and only an inch deep. And a real close, intimate relationship with someone, hard to find. Let me just tell you, if you're in one of those moments where you just feel like, you know, there's not a friend to be found, remember this. Here's the remember. Remember, Jesus is committed to you. He is available to you. He loves you. He died for you. And he rose again the third day, proving who he was, who he said he was, and also to make himself available, to be with us, to be in us, to be in heaven praying for us, pleading our case before God. And someday, looking forward to, as we looked 2 weeks ago, coming to back to receive this bride to himself, and so will we ever be with the Lord. Friends, he's committed to you. In those moments that are lonely, you run to him. In those moments where you can't find a friend, know that he is a friend that's greater than all. When you find somebody who has not been committed to you, remember his commitment to you. Well, we've all had relationships that didn't end well. And maybe you've had one of those. Maybe it's a brother, sister, parents, coworker, business partner, or maybe even a spouse that did not keep their vows to you. That hurts. That hurts in ways that I can't really always appreciate and understand. But I want to tell you this. Jesus maintains his commitment to you. He maintains his commitment to you. He is full in, full on, and fully for you. Remember him. How do we remember him? Well, we remember him through our time in the Word, what you're doing right now. We remember him as we talk to him. Make prayer and the reading of God's Word part of your daily life. Get alone with God every day. I know in my own personal life, I don't feel like I really started really growing consistently until I developed the routine and the habit of reading God's Word early in the day and praying to start the day. It changes everything. If you're not in that habit, that maybe you started and stopped. Maybe your commitment to that waned. But get reconnected to spending time with God daily. And remember, he is committed to you. So let's move on to the end of this chapter. Now, there's all this controversy, and I already alluded earlier that there's this great controversy. It says in verse 19, there was a division among them and among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, verse 20, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So some are saying, there's got to be something here. No, it's a demon. It's all this thing that's going on. And we're told in verse 22, it was the Feast of Dedication. He was in a public place in the temple. And here's what happens. It says in verse 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Because they were trying to trap him into claiming he was God. Then they would choose him with blasphemy, and then they're going to stone him to death right on the spot. And he's surrounded. This is a very threatening place. This is a place where God's going to have to intervene, or the cross would never have happened. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. He says, you don't believe. That's the problem. And the reason you don't believe, you're not really one of my followers, you're not one of my sheep. You're on the outside looking in. You're looking to cast accusation, not to open your heart to belief. In the skeptical world in which we live, there's many people still stuck in that same mode. And then he makes this last statement. Remember we talked about he is genuine, he is good, he's committed. There's one more, and that is this. He is faithful. Not only is he committed to being there for us, but he will faithfully make sure that happens in over time and in real time. And listen to these wonderful words of comfort from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a beautiful picture. My sheep know me. We have this relationship. And I'm going to faithfully do these things for them. I'm going to give them eternal life. By the way, I've talked about this recently, but I'll say it again. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself project. It's a God-only done project. Jesus-only completed project. So he says, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift received on the basis of faith. It's not earned. It's not enhanced. It's not kept by our actions. We don't do what we do because I'm afraid God's going to cast me out. Someone's going to pluck them out of the Father's hand or the Son of God's hand. No, we are motivated for love because he's already given us. I give unto them. It's a gift of God. If it's a gift, it's unearned. If it's a gift, we can't do anything to damage it or detract from it. It's what he has done. I give them the eternal life. And then he says this, don't you love us? And they shall never perish. That is faithfulness. I'm going to make sure they never perish. I want to make sure that they are eternally secure in me for all eternity. You say, that doesn't make any sense. Well, by the world standards and by our own experience, it doesn't make sense because we don't find that kind of faithfulness in this world. But you do find this faithfulness in Jesus Christ. Remember him. Remember his faithfulness. The good shepherd is faithful to take care of his sheep, and they shall never perish. And then he makes this wonderful statement. He says, no one's able to pluck them out of my hand. Well, how strong is Jesus? Is he strong enough to protect us from us crawling out or someone prying open his hand? Absolutely. And then he goes this extra statement. He says, and no one's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's like God the Father, God the Son said, we've got you in our hands, and we are not going to let go. We are faithful to you. Ah, when we live in this world where we feel scared and vulnerable, when we feel nervous, when we're just everything around us just upsets us and we're living on edge and we're just absolutely awash in stress, here's what you remember. He's going to be faithful. No one's going to pluck you out of his hand or the Father's hand. He's the giver of eternal life. You will never perish. And that's what motivates us to serve. We serve because we love a Lord who's loved us that much. We serve a shepherd who is that faithful to us. And out of that heart, that's where we really serve our Lord. So, remember this, run to him. Then he says this, by the way, I and my Father are one. It says in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. I mean, they understood what Jesus was saying, and they were having none of it. But later it says that he escaped out of their midst. And probably that was a supernatural transportation of somehow or movement of Jesus, that because his life was being threatened, but it was not his time yet. So, think about this, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. He is the shepherd of our souls. He is genuine. In our moments of dealing with the fake and the false, he's genuine. He's also, this is amazing, he is good. In a world that's full of bad, run to him. Remember him. He is good. Worship him. Love him. Serve him. Read his word. Be talking to him in prayer. Be with his people. Love his people. Forgive people. Live in love for others because he's first loved us. Not only is that, he is committed. He was committed to you. In a world where a friend can't be found, he is committed to you. And he's also faithful. He's going to make sure you get to where he intends you to be if you're one of his children. And that's in heaven with him for all eternity. Rest in him. And then respond to that in love. Respond to that in love. When you feel afraid, run to him. Run to his protection. He has the situation well in hand. Well, thank you for joining me today for this time in the Word, and I hope it's an encouragement to you as we take a look at this great shepherd, the Good Shepherd, and he is good, he is committed, he is faithful, he is genuine. You remember him today.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.